From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
A seasoned journalist and communications educator who knows how to make tough decisions in newsrooms and in classrooms. She's the dean of the Howard University School of Communications. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today is Dr. Gracie Lawson-Borders. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So you spent the better part of three decades in academia, communication studies, and professional journalism. Tell me, what are the main differences of those areas?
Well, I think one thing that I found that marries them nicely, when I was a working journalist and was in the field covering news, later as an editor helping to decide on different things for the news, you have an opportunity to see things as they are in operation. And questions come to mind about why are we doing this and what could we give more context to that. And then when I entered academia, you have a chance to step back and actually answer those questions and try to answer them.
Right. So for your students today, what do you think are the biggest differences they face coming in terms of learning the technical aspects of what you're trying to teach them versus what the contemporary workforce is demanding of them?
Well, this is an interesting time for current students of communication because it's a challenging time, but it's an exciting time because they will basically write new scripts for what they do out here in the world of communication and media. And by that, I mean they're entering when technology has always been disruptive to the media business. But in the world of the digital environment, it has created so many dynamics because of the different platforms and the different opportunities. And so what our students have is we want them to come and we want them to be sponges. We want them to observe and absorb everything they can and see the dynamics of they will really be creating spaces for themselves. They won't necessarily be following traditional lines with legacy media, whether it's a newspaper or a magazine or a broadcast outlet. They'll be blending and creating such dynamics, and in many cases, they'll be creating their own environments. So what they do in the classroom is much more integrated in an engaging and an interactive format, way different than a class I would have taught intro to reporting 20 years ago.
Now, you've spent most of your academic career, formal education, at Midwestern institutions. What did you get from that experience that you think is applicable in your role as dean today?
One of the things I do try to do personally and professionally is I try to learn from every experience that I've had professionally and personally. So as a working journalist, I feel like gleaned things from those experiences to take into the classroom and into my academic leadership. In the Midwest areas I worked, Chicago Tribune in Chicago, for example, you get this cross-section of the U.S. You have a large media market. You have a market where there's lots of engagement on all kinds of levels, politics, economics. You come to Washington, D.C., where you are at the epicenter of so many dynamic pieces of engagement, politics, cultural, lifestyle, you name it. And so what it does is it makes you think about ways of hoping to have a leadership that motivates students and faculty to think about how do we help people contextualize life in the 21st century that's so different than the way they even used media 10 years ago.
Now, you've written a book, Media Organizations and Convergence. Tell us a bit about the gist of that.
Yes, when I did that book was in some of those early days when we first were still, and I can't believe we're saying that, early 2000s when we were seeing this constant dynamic with what was happening with digital technology and how people were trying to figure out what to do with it in media particularly. And so I looked at how different organizations were either using it as a cost center and putting something there saying, well, I've got to have something that's on the web or I've got to do something digital. And now it's fluid. And it's second nature. They have to. They don't have a choice. And they need people who come who are creative and innovative. And goes back to my earlier comment that current students are entrepreneurial innovative in their spirit and should be, because that's what they're bringing to these organizations now.
And as you look at that digital platform and the manner in which students are using it today, what do you see as the next transformation on the horizon?
Well, I think what's interesting is I think we're still in our aha moment with technology, and particularly the emerging digital technologies. And I think we're still testing and pushing the fence to see what works. What I think, if I were to sit at this moment and say current students and even young practitioners, communication practitioners, are still trying to figure out that what truly has changed is how people use media. They still use traditional and legacy media, radio, television, in many cases print, but they use them in different ways as opposed to what they do digitally and what kinds of platforms they use there. So it's trying to find the sweet spot. You know, how do you give people what they need? And I think that's what they're going to continually see evolving for them.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is the Dean of the School of Communications, Dr. Grace G. Lawson Borders. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Now, recently the School of Communications changed its majors in terms of its majors offered at the undergraduate level.
Correct.
Tell me about that change. What are the current majors and why the change?
Basically, what we did is just restructured. And the faculty, which I still commend the School of Communications faculty for thinking about this in a forward-looking way, made the focus digital communication and said, if we look out there at what you are going to be dealing with as you continue to move forward in the 21st century, we need to make sure that you're touching things in a dynamic way while you're still at the School of Communications, while you're having internships and having field experience. And so what it did was it took basically majors that people still know in certain instances, and that is journalism, online and new media, as well as things that are in print. It took broadcast, which people already knew, audio and video and film, but said, we're going to give you this digital perspective. It decided to say, whether you did PR or you did advertising or you did management or organizational communication, there were certain things we were going to make sure you touched from a digital communications perspective so that you took an outlook on what you were planning to do, keeping in mind that you had this very visceral change constantly in the places that you would land.
Right. Now, you're working on a second book, Digital Business Models and Strategies for Media Organizations. What
yes.
would be the focus there?
And that one is the same thing happened to me as someone who's coming from legacy media. I was curious after the research from the first book, okay, now how are organizations dealing with the long-term model that has always and still runs in tandem in the U.S. has been subscription and advertising, paid subscription and advertising. Well, that model doesn't necessarily work in a digital environment. And so these organizations are trying to figure out, what other revenue streams do I come up with? What other products do I offer? So that's why you're seeing ebooks. That's why you're seeing, you know, audiobooks. That's why you're seeing video platforms. And so people are trying to figure out, how do I make you have an experience with a major magazine outlet, we'll just say that and give it a generic term, but also make you understand, I know you need a digital and dynamic experience with that. You're having guests over and you don't want to go find the July issue of my magazine. You want to go on your tablet and there's my lovely three-dimensional recipe straight there with our version of whoever the chef, top chef is, showing you exactly how to do it.
Right. Now, because of that, though, do you think we are telling complete stories? You know, when you think of an Apple Watch as an example, and you can look down and quickly get the weather or get a headline about a major accident or earthquake, are we really communicating effectively in the sense of being able to tell the entire story as a result of how that access is? And to be quite honest, sometimes how limited it is in terms of its length and you know, breadth.
Well, I think that's a very fine question, and I'll go back to something you asked me earlier when you said the School of Communications reorganized itself, and what does that mean? Well, we're hoping that we're training communicators that they understand that people need information contextualized, that they use media differently, and so you have to reach them where they're at and help them. I'm still fascinated with social media and the way it has taken on in a life all of its own. If you think about something like Facebook, it's only been around since 2004. However, people look to it for certain things. They look to Twitter for certain things. They look to the website for their local television station for certain things. What we hope to do with a common experience we now have in our school for every person who majors, whether PR or advertising, there's three common courses they have to take. And two, I'll give you an example of why it's important: media literacy and media ethics in a digital environment is so important, is so that they will try to do and come out as communicators that contextualize. People need public affairs information.
Right. Now, we've spoken a lot about who is delivering the communication, but let's spend a little bit of time on the audience. As we go through, whether it's health literacy, financial literacy, legal literacy, again, trying to get a public educated about their options, their risk, preventative measures. What is your School of Communications doing presently to impact that?
Well, I think one of the things we're keeping mindful of, if you look at the concentration rate of television in the U.S., it's pretty much 99.9%. So despite all of these wonderful engaging tools from tablets and software that let you do all kinds of things with social media, still television is the most predominant when people want to receive news and information. So what we are trying to do with people who go through the School of Communications is have them bear in mind that they're trying to be in that ecosystem. And they're trying to make sure that they understand that they have an audience out there that's very mobile, that's very technology savvy, that's very digitally enhanced on their own, and thinking about them in terms of how to get things to them. So there may be certain things when they are riding public transportation into work that you hit them quickly. When you think about cell phones, which are, I'm with the AT&T chairman, they're not cell phones, they're computers. There are certain things with sports where people love those rolling headlines, quick information, but you also try to connect them in other ways so that you can let them know there's a full, robust, further information that you've got to make sure as an audience they get.
Right. Now, tell us a little bit about your experience growing up. Where were you born and reared?
Well, it's interesting that I'm in communication. Grew up a child of the South. I was born in Georgia. In a very small town about hour south of Atlanta, Thomaston, Georgia. Was interested in being a teacher. How it turned into going into journalism I find fascinating, but always loved the written and spoken word. And as I progressed along, different opportunities came throughout school. Later moved to the Midwest, to Michigan, and got this fascination, and it's kind of interesting, but I attribute it also to my seventh grade teacher when I talked to him about, we were looking at schools and what did I want to major in, and I said, I think I want to teach, but I'm also interested in journalism. He said, well, I think you might be good. Why don't you try journalism? Because you can always go back and teach journalism. So I think it's kind of ironic that that's what I end up doing.
Yeah, he sounds like he had a good crystal ball. No, as you look at today in terms of faculty experience with respect to communications and trying to reach a contemporary student audience, what do you think are some of the challenges, but also some of the opportunities in terms of that relationship?
Well, I think what our faculty see, not just in the School of Communications, but I'm sure across the university, as we sit here and heading into the middle of the second decade of the 21st century, that our students are much more digital native. I mean, they really are engaged, they're dynamic, and they're looking for that experience. And where it challenges us is we as educators have to think about how do we take that knowledge and skills that we have. And Margaret Mead said, if you have knowledge, you should share it. So how do we make sure we structure it in a way that we get the basics and the fundamentals so that they know they have to be there, but also are creative in keeping them engaged, which is why it's exciting in our school that we require an internship. internship. We have field experience opportunities. We have co-curricular opportunities. Every way we can to make sure that they feel, touch, and get a sense of how do I massage this thing called communication in an industry that I want to go in that's doing so many things that are changing as we speak sitting here right now.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been the Dean of the School of Communications here at Howard University, Dr. Gracie Lawson-Borders. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.